Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I am your very grateful host, Michelle Hollinger. I am so happy to be back on the air with this radio show. I did not realize just how much I missed being on the air talking about sisterhood. I took a break because the paperback was calling my name and I needed to get that done. I have, and so what I'm dedicating this show to is the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. So for the next several weeks, we will be dissecting the paperback edition of the Sisterhood Exchange and going deep into this whole discussion about sisterhood. So, yeah, I'm really, really happy to be back, and I hope that you guys are ready to talk about sisterhood and to share your perspectives on sisterhood. Sisterhood is very, very, very special to me. And I'll give a little background on that in just a minute, but to kick things off, I just want to let you all know, if you're listening online, if you want to call in and become a part of this conversation, the telephone number to call in is 646-595-2081. Once you call in, you'll get a prompt if you'd like to join the conversation to press 1. And I will be very, very happy to bring you into this very important conversation. What else do I need to tell you before we get into this wonderful conversation? There's a Facebook page called the Sisterhood Exchange, and I have a blast with keeping that Facebook page up to date with inspirational material, informative material, challenging. Sometimes we need to challenge each other to move out of these quote-unquote comfort zones that we sometimes spend entirely too much time in. So, yeah, the Facebook page, I encourage you to like that if you're on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, that's an excellent reason to get on Facebook because we have so much fun with that page. I get feedback from women. They share their insights and wisdom on sisterhood, and they share what some of the information that I share with them on Facebook, actually how it actually impacts them. So, yeah, I strongly encourage you, if you have not already done so, to like that page and to make it become your own. Add to it, you know, make comments, be a part of that page. Make it come alive. Make it come alive. Again, this is the Sisterhood Exchange Radio Show, and we are going to, in a very few minutes, begin a book club discussion on the book, The Sisterhood Exchange. And I want to give you guys some background on The Sisterhood Exchange and how it became a part of my life, because I really and truly believe that The Sisterhood Exchange chose me. I wasn't walking around looking or, you know, kind of digging around this topic of sisterhood. It's always been near and dear to me, and I think that is one of the main reasons that it chose me. But it's been a part of my life for a number of years. I remember that the very first time that any inkling of the Sisterhood Exchange came through me, because I really believe that I took dictation on the book. I wrote it. My name is on the book. People give me the feedback, but I really believe that this is one of those occasions where the universe poured it through me. I was a vessel. I took good dictation, and I allowed myself to be used, by God to bring this message to women, which is very, very timely and extremely important. But I digress. I was about to tell you guys how the Sisterhood Exchange became a part of my life. I remember it had to be in the late 90s because my sister-in-law, Carolyn, was still with us. Because I remember that one Christmas, I wrote a poem called The Sisterhood Exchange. Beautiful, beautiful poem that just talked about this energy exchange between women, that talked about, you know, how we can support each other verbally, nonverbally, with our body language, with everything about us. And it wasn't a lengthy poem, but it was a beautiful poem that I gave to Carolyn and a couple of other women as gifts for Christmas. So that was the first indication that the Sisterhood Exchange would be a part of my life. And then a few years later, when Carolyn transitioned, I remember that I had a gathering at my house where I encouraged women to come. These were family and friends to come and to bring their favorite inspirational quote or their favorite Bible passage or just some written material that was near and dear to them and that motivated them. And so I asked them to bring it to my house, and we had food, and, you know, we sat around and talked and whatnot. And then we had an opportunity where each woman, we went around in a circle, and each woman was able to share her favorite quote or her favorite Bible verse or whatever the case may be and talk about, you know, why it was important to her. And after that, I had another event that was very similar, but it was held at a hotel, at one of the meeting rooms at a hotel, where I encouraged women to do the same thing, to bring, you know, their favorite inspirational quote or Bible verse or what have you. And we did the same thing. And some years later, I had a couple of experiences with sisterhood that, you know, just kind of got my attention. And the one that really resonated with me and that really, I think, opened me up so that this book could pour through was the experience that I had with my daughter, who was, she must have been maybe 9 or 10 at the time, and that's my daughter Stephanie, who's now 21 years old. But at the time, you know, Stephanie and I weren't getting along so well. We weren't having major problems, but, you know, we had hit a snag in the mother-daughter relationship, you know. And because I've been on this spiritual journey for a very long time, some part of me knew that what was happening between my daughter and me, that it could be better. Some part of me knew that it could absolutely positively be better. And so one night she and I were the only ones here, and I said to her, "Steffi, would you try something with me?" And she said reluctantly, "Yeah, Ma, okay, I'll try it." And so I explained to her that we would stand and face each other. We would hold each other's hands, and for a few minutes she would think positive thoughts about me, and I would think positive thoughts about her silently. We would do it silently. And while we were standing there, I got really emotional, you know, just thinking about what a wonderful child she is and, you know, just thinking about all of her positive qualities, not, you know, allowing myself to remain bogged down by the things that she was doing that got on my nerves. So, you know, this was an intention to shift our focus from what was, you know, aggravating the relationship to actually looking at, okay, what is it about this little girl that really excites me, that really, you know, makes me feel good? And I wanted her to do the same thing, and so that's what we did. We were standing in the kitchen, and we stood there and faced each other, and like I said, I was moved by it. I got emotional. And Steph may have gotten emotional too, but she was a little tough, spunky person, so she wasn't, you know, going to show that she was feeling any kind of emotions about standing there holding hands with her mother, thinking positive thoughts. But then I asked her when we got done, you know, would you mind sharing, if we shared, you know, what we thought about the other person? And she said, you know, reluctantly, "Okay, I will." And so I said to her, you know, "I think that you're a courageous little girl. You're spunky. You march to your own beat. You know, I really admire how you are true to yourself," and, you know, a few more things like that. And then Steffi said to me, and then this is when she got a little emotional, "I think that you're a good mommy. You know, you have my back. You stand up for me," and that kind of thing. And we didn't do it too many additional times after that, but at that moment, our relationship shifted, because these thoughts that we had about each other were always under the surface. They were always there, but because we were caught up in what was aggravating, you know, us about the other one, we weren't allowing ourselves to experience the good thoughts that we had about the other person. So our relationship shifted. Our relationship did not become perfect. No relationship is. But she and I have this really deep connection. We can talk about anything. And the sisterhood exchange that I have with her is one that I really, really treasure. So, yeah, that's the other experience that showed me that this sisterhood exchange had chosen me, and it was speaking to me over the years. And what I realize now is that God needed me to be at a certain level of consciousness before the entire message about the sisterhood exchange could flow through me. So it started, you know, back before my sister-in-law died when I wrote the poem, and then I had the women's gathering at the house, and then I had the gathering at the hotel, and then I had this experience with my daughter. And I started just to become more observant about the way women interacted with each other, the energy that we exuded to each other, the way that we treated each other, the way that we spoke to each other, the whole nine yards. And so my thoughts started to really come together, and these insights and these epiphanies about sisterhood, you know, just started to reveal themselves in and through me. And so, you know, not long after I had the experience with Stephanie, I knew I needed to sit down somewhere and allow these words and these thoughts and these ideas about sisterhood to pour through and to put them on my page. And so I started that. And so I wrote the first book a number of years ago, but didn't really do anything with it, just kind of put it to the side. But then a few years later, you know, I started getting this nagging feeling, do something with the sisterhood exchange. That is not for you. You did not write that for you to go in and file it away somewhere and just keep it for your eyes only. That it's not for you. You're supposed to do something with the sisterhood exchange. And so I listened, you know, I meditate, I pray, and I do what I'm told. When spirit guides me, I move and I do what I'm supposed to do. And so the hardback copy for the book poured through. And the hardback copy is a really nice book. It's a really, really, really nice book. But it wasn't the complete book. I did not realize that at the time. When I wrote that hardback copy several years ago and then finally published it, I guess it's coming up on 2 years now, published it a couple of years ago, I really thought that I had said all that needed to be said, all that I had to say, rather, on the topic of sisterhood, not realizing that as my consciousness continued to develop, as my consciousness continued to go to a higher level, that there was more that God wanted to pour through me about sisterhood. So when it came time to release the hardback and paperback, whoa, did God have God's way with me, because during meditation, this additional information about sisterhood would just start pouring through. You know, the idea of the SOS, the sisterhood of self, that was not my idea, but it poured through, and I started to just write everything down, and soon it just became very, very apparent to me that the book, the paperback edition of the book, was not just simply going to be the hardback's content, but in a different package. It became extremely apparent to me that this was going to be an entirely different book, and I had to have a few conversations with the publisher, because traditionally, you know, your paperback is the same as your hardback, and there's not a whole lot of changes done to the content, but I needed changes done to my content because this book is entirely different. It includes everything from the hardback, but so much more, so much so that the book had to be, I had to put it into part one and part two. It's not a big book. It's still not, the hardback is not a big book. The paperback is not a big book. But there is just so much more substance and more information and more insight, more wisdom, more everything as it relates to sisterhood in the paperback edition. So that's my story about how I became involved with the Sisterhood Exchange. And I want to get into this discussion about the book. I hope that, you know, that those of you who are listening have had a chance to get your copy. A number of you have already purchased your autographed copies from my website, and you can still do that if you want the paperback. The paperback is available from my website, which is michellehollinger.com, if you want to have it autographed. If you're not concerned about the autograph, then you can order it from Amazon.com, which the price is similar. The price on Amazon is $10 and some change, and the price for the autographed copy is $10. And then you can also get the ebook for your digital device. You can get it for your Kindle, and if you don't have a Kindle, there's a Kindle app that allows you to download that Kindle app, and you can read the book electronically on any electronic device on your smartphone or your tablet, whether it's a Kindle or not. So you can still get the book, because this conversation, this book club, is going to make a whole lot more sense when you're familiar with what we're talking about in the book. So, again, you can look at my website or go to Amazon.com to get the book. And the first thing that I want to do for this first conversation is to encourage you guys to call in with your feedback on the preface. The preface of the book gives an explanation about where the Sisterhood Exchange came from. And this explanation is an explanation that did not come from me, but through me. As I typed this information, it was just so clear to me that I was just sitting there taking dictation. I would take a deep breath. I would close my eyes and just allow the words to flow, open my eyes, and just get to typing. So I am going to read the first paragraph of the preface, which begins, "Sisterhood is one of the most powerful aspects of being a woman. It begins with our birth and takes on the flavor of what we're most consistently exposed to. Girls who grow up around authentic women who feel good about themselves are more likely to also feel good about themselves. Girls who grow up around women who support other women in words and actions are more likely to develop a healthy approach to sisterhood. On the other hand, girls who grow up around, and I put this in italics, are only exposed to women who routinely gossip and put other women down are very likely to contribute to the perceptions that many people seem to embrace, that women can't get along, women can't work together, women cannot trust each other, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera." Okay, so I want to go back to those first two paragraphs. Sisterhood is a quality. It is a dynamic that we're born with. This connection that we have to other women, it's not anything that we really have to nurture, because we're born with a natural desire to connect with people, period. So we connect with other people anyway, but we are especially drawn to people who look like us, people who are made like us. So women are drawn to women, right? And sisterhood is one of those things that from the time that we're little girls, we just naturally move and flow beautifully with sisterhood. If you look at two little female babies, two little girls, they don't have any qualms with each other. They just naturally, you know, gravitate towards each other. They want to play with each other. They want to talk to each other. They want to be around each other. It's a natural desire. It's an innate quality for us as women to want to be supportive of and to spend time with other women in a positive way, okay? What happens is as we grow up, and I mentioned it in the second paragraph, actually in the first paragraph. So if we grow up around other women, if the women that we grow up around are positive women, women who, you know, speak supportively of other women, you know, who you know, have positive, wonderful things to say about other women, who are not, you know, the variety of backstabbing and gossiping in the presence of their children. Little girls who grow up around women who are supportive of other women, they typically take on that quality. That's what they learn. Okay, the way we behave with sisterhood is a learned behavior. It is definitely a learned behavior. So the more time that we spend around positive women as little girls, the more likely we'll grow up with some of those same qualities. It's not a guarantee either way, okay? It's not a guarantee either, but more often than not, who we're exposed to, who we spend the most time around, that's who rubs off on us. That is who determines the types of qualities that we have as it relates to how we treat other women. Okay, so on the flip side, girls who are only exposed, and I say only because even if a girl is exposed to a mother or aunts, older sisters, neighbors, what have you, if she's exposed to women who, you know, she when they're sitting around in the kitchen, they're gossiping, you know, they're putting down other women. But then she goes to school, or she goes down the street and plays at a neighbor's house, or she just goes somewhere else where she gets a different kind of experience, then the impact of that negativity is not as strong. And so that's what I mean when I say when girls grow up around and are only exposed to women who routinely gossip and put other women down, they're very, very likely to contribute to the perceptions that many people seem to embrace, that women can't get along, women can't work together, women cannot trust each other, et cetera. And I want to go back to that word perceptions, because that's what it is. It's not reality. It's a perception. It's a perception that women can't get along. It's a perception that women can't trust each other. It's a perception. But the way that we treat sisterhood, the way that we exemplify the sisterhood exchange, either, you know, dismantles those perceptions or it solidifies. They solidify the perceptions, okay? And so this chapter goes on to say that the more frequent the exposure and the closer the connection to the women exhibiting the behavior, the more likely that girls would accept as normal and internalize the vicious cycle of tenuous, dysfunctional, distrustful connections between women. That's a mouthful. So basically, yeah, the more they see it, the more they start to believe that that's normal. That's the way women are supposed to act. You know, there's nothing different. And there's no expectation for me to behave any differently. They don't even have that thought. You know, the idea that this is the way women treat each other is just, you know, it becomes a part of them. They internalize it and they normalize it. And the more that they internalize and the more that it gets normalized, the more likely that they, too, will begin to perpetuate the same type of behavior. And that's when it becomes generational. You know, that's when it becomes generational. So the vicious cycle, this continues, this is on page 8. The vicious cycle is kept in motion by unconscious women. And then the next sentence says, these women are not literally unconscious, but they are not consciously aware of who they are. That's what I mean when I say unconscious women. They don't realize how powerful they are. They don't realize that everything that's going on in their external world, everything that's going on in their life is a reflection of what's going on inside. It's a reflection of, you know, who they were exposed to predominantly as they were growing up as young girls. It's a reflection of what's inside. As within, so without. As within, so without. Okay? Let's see what else. This paragraph goes on to say that unconscious women act from a false sense of self, and from that space, they treat other women poorly. When you are not aware, when you're unconscious to your internal power, your internal beauty, your inner splendor, okay, and you're operating from this external perception of who you are, that's a false self. You haven't tapped into the good stuff. And so you're operating from that false sense of self. And from that false sense of self, you have to treat other people the same way that you treat yourself. When you're operating from your false sense of self, that energy, that negative energy that is a part of who you are, it has to flow to other people. That's just the way it goes. The energy that we have for ourselves is exuded to other women, right? So the next paragraph goes a little bit deeper. It says, because what they give to others, they also keep for themselves. Women who treat other women poorly unwittingly maintain the negative energy. It's that whole what goes around comes around concept, what you reap, what you sow. That concept, that idea, that philosophy is real, and that's essentially what that says. So a woman who is operated from her false sense of self is unwittingly, she thinks that that's it. She doesn't even realize that there is this awesome dynamic inside of her. And sometimes women go their entire lives without realizing that they had this awesome goodness inside that was awaiting their attention, that was awaiting their nurturing, that was awaiting them to take hold of it, mold it, and use it, and allow it to define who they are. Sometimes women go their entire lives their entire lives without realizing what they were here to do. When you are operating, when a woman operates from her false sense of self, she can't help but to attract foolishness into her life, because what goes around comes around. What you put out is what you pull back into your existence, and that's essentially what that says. That's essentially what that says. I see that I have a caller who wants to chime in on this wonderful discussion, so I am going to give them an opportunity to do just that. Hi, caller, you're on the air. Your name and where you're calling from, please. Hi, caller, you there? I guess they must have hit number one by mistake. That's okay. Okay, so I was going in on this whole idea that in order for a woman to attract negativity into her life, she has to be putting out negativity. It's not a coincidence. It is just not a coincidence. That's just the way it, that is the way that it works. That's just the way that it works, okay? The paragraph continues, and because like energy attracts, they continuously invite negative experiences into their space, which includes negative treatment from other unconscious women, women who are acting from a false sense of self, who are also unwittingly perpetuating the vicious cycle, and so on and so on and so on. You want to see an example of what that paragraph talks about? Turn on one of these reality shows where the women are cursing at each other. They get into fist fights. They are backstabbing, you know, as the old folks would say, they are cutting the fool. If you want to see an example of just that vicious cycle of negativity between women, if you want to see how it gets, how it's perpetuated, how it is maintained, how it is kept in motion, take a look at one of those reality shows, because that's what it essentially is about, okay? And so the next paragraph goes on to say, and so the cycle continues. Women engage in giving and receiving negativity, oblivious to their role as cause and frustrated with the effect, which is their inauthentic, unfulfilled life. When I talk about the sisterhood exchange, it's not just the purpose of it is not to say, okay, let's just treat each other better. Let's just be nicer. Let's be sweeter to each other. That's the surface stuff. That's not it. The idea behind the sisterhood exchange is understanding that the way I treat my sisters is a reflection first of how I treat myself. The sisterhood of self determines not only my quality of life, it determines how I treat other women. And you can spot an authentic woman a mile away because of the way she reacts to, you know, what happens when a beautiful woman walks into the room, for example. Or, you know, just her reaction when she reads a news story or she sees a piece on TV about a woman who has done something wonderful. You know, her reaction to that woman is a reflection of her perception of herself. And that's the main reason that I, when I got to the paperback version of this book, and I realized that, you know, there was just so much more than what was in the hardback, I realized that, you know what, oh my goodness, this really is a two-part book, because essentially the first part of it, it really has to focus on how we treat ourselves. It really has to focus on the sisterhood of self. It really has to take a look first off at the thoughts that I think about myself. What kind of self-talk am I engaging in? You know, how do I allow my inner critic to derail my thoughts and dreams and goals? You know, what's going on with me? Because that's where it starts. That is where it starts. When you look at these reality shows where these women are, you know, disparaging each other, calling each other out their names, gossiping, backstabbing, those women are not living authentically. They are not in touch with who they are. They are living from that false sense of self that says that when you have these material possessions, when you have the nice car, the nice home, the nice clothes, the nice weave, the nice et cetera, and I have nothing against weave, then that makes you successful. That makes you authentic. That makes you, you know, a success. That does not make you a success. Is an inside-out job. If I am feeling like crap about myself, but I have all of these external material possessions, that is not authentic. That is not authentic. And if I haven't tapped into my purpose for being here and if I'm not living from that, even if I haven't discovered my purpose, but as long as I'm in pursuit of it, because if I am in pursuit of it, I am doing some things to tap into my inner world, to tap into what God and the universe has to say to me that will guide me towards discovering why I'm here, okay? So let me take a deep breath because I just get so excited about this stuff. I will pass out. I will lose oxygen in my brain talking about this stuff because I just get excited because I get it. Oh, my God, I get it. And I just want to be able to help other women to get it the way that I get it. I just get it. And the thing that was amplifier for me is, and I wanted to make sure that women got this too, you don't have to be engaged in, you know, negative interactions with other women in order to benefit from the sisterhood exchange. Because, you know, as I said, the first part of the book goes deep into embracing the sisterhood of self. I call it the SOS. And, you know, traditionally the SOS is, you know, an acronym for a distress signal. And, you know, there's a sense of urgency that goes along with that. And I totally believe that there should be a sense of urgency about us going within and discovering who we are and why we are here. Yes, goodness. So, yeah, I wanted to make sure that people understood, that women understood that you don't have to be, you know, engaged in negativity with other women in order to get something from the sisterhood exchange. This book is a book for everybody. This book is a book for everybody. It's funny because I read my own book and I get motivated by it. And I mentioned before that, you know, I told my daughter that some of the stuff that is in this book, I do not remember writing it. That just is evidence that God poured it through me and I was just a willing vessel and I took excellent dictation because I got it all down. But I go back and I read some of it and I say to myself, who wrote that? Whoa, that's deep. Who wrote that? Okay, let me take a deep breath before I continue this discussion. And I encourage you guys to call in and share your feedback on, first of all, what sisterhood means to you. And then if you've read the book, I would love to hear what you think about, you know, the first part of it, the preface, and then, you know, in a few minutes we're going to go into the next part of it, which is the sisterhood of self, the SOS. And the call-in number, if you'd like to join the conversation, is 646-595-2081. 646-595-2081. And I want to thank you all for being a part of this radio show, and for the next several weeks, I'm hoping that you'll join me for the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club, where we go deep into a discussion about sisterhood. And I think the timing, no, I don't think, I know that the timing for this discussion, the timing for this book club is absolutely perfect, because everything that is happening, well, not everything, but there are a lot of things happening in the news, on TV, with these reality shows about sisterhood that would give the impression that sisterhood is just in serious trouble, that it is just, you know, on the brink of disaster. And while there are certain elements, you know, that where sisterhood is in trouble, there's so much more good things going, so many more good things going on with sisterhood that don't get the exposure, that don't get, you know, the news story, because, you know, the bad news sells. But there are a lot of wonderful things going on with sisterhood, you know, that really balances it out, I think. But I really believe that, you know, the things that are going on with the reality shows and the thing that really got everybody's attention a few weeks ago was the fiasco on VH1 with that sorority sisters show. I can't tell you who was on it or what they said because I never watched it. I knew, you know, from the previews that it wasn't something that was in alignment with my idea of sisterhood, so I did not watch it. But I read, you know, I read the reports on it, and I saw, you know, all of the feedback and the backlash and you know, that the women in the sororities mounted a very strong opposition to the show, excuse me, and had it removed from the show. And it really got, you know, everybody talking about sisterhood. It really did. And here's one thing that I believe, and it doesn't just apply to sisterhood, it applies to everything in life. I believe that when the time comes for a situation, an ailment, you know, anything to heal, in order for it to heal, the part of it that is afflicted with illness has to rise to the surface in order for us to be aware that it needs to be healed, right? So I believe that these depictions of sisterhood on that show, the Sorority Sisters and the other shows where sisterhood gets a bad name, I think that that's our opportunity. I think that that is the universe's way of splashing cold water in our face as it relates to sisterhood to say, look, those of you who know better, look at the name that sisterhood is being given. Look at how sisterhood is being defined by these women on these reality shows. Look at what's going on with sisterhood. Now, are you okay with that being the only depiction of sisterhood, or do you have something to say about it? You know, and I think that, I even think that some of the women on those shows are, you know, first of all, I believe that everybody is doing the best they can with what they know. When you know better, you do better. I believe that with every fiber of my being. Maya Angelou said that when we know better, we do better. And I think evidence of that is a few years ago, I think it was maybe a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, Evelyn Lozado was on Basketball Wives. And her behavior, again, I never saw that show because, you know, when I read what the description was, their idea of sisterhood was not in alignment with my idea of sisterhood, and so I did not watch. But I did read the news reports and some of the snippets on Facebook about, you know, what went on with that show. And essentially, you know, she was out of control on that show. She was one who was quick to curse people out, quick to fight, I mean, get into a fist fight. She was just volatile. She seemed to be an angry person, you know. And I think on Iyanla Van Zandt's Iyanla Fix My Life on her program, Evelyn Lozado was on her show, and Iyanla did some extensive work with her and helped her to peel back the layers to understand where all of this anger and this unhappiness was coming from. And it was rooted in her childhood, her relationship with her mother, her relationship with her father, the way that she was brought up. You know, she was always on the defensive. She always had to fight for everything that she wanted, everything that she needed. She essentially, what Iyanla helped her to see was that you did not just wake up one day as an adult behaving this way, feeling this way about yourself, feeling like this was the only way for you to interact and for you to behave with other women and with other people. You did not just wake up one day and voila, you know, you had this way of navigating the world. It had its roots in your childhood. And she helped her to see that. It was an extremely emotional show, extremely emotional. And it helped her to really just come to grips with, you know, where she was, what she was doing, why she was doing it, that kind of thing. And I am saying all that to say that I think that a number of these women on the reality shows where they disparage each other and, you know, the gossiping and backstabbing and whatnot, many of them are acting out from unresolved pain, from childhood issues. And I believe that if Iyanla could go onto those reality shows, maybe have a couple of them to come onto her show, but if she could just go onto the reality shows and just work with some of the women, she could help them to realize that there's a better way. So I'm getting off my soapbox about Iyanla Van Zandt and Iyanla Fix My Life and the reality shows, but I just really believe that everything happens for a reason, and there's not a coincidence that, you know, sisterhood on these reality shows is being, you know, broadcast and put in our faces loudly and clearly, because we need to be having this conversation, you know. We need to be having this conversation about sisterhood. And so let me go back to the book. And if you're just joining me, then this is the Sisterhood Exchange Radio Show, and tonight is the launch of the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. I am so excited. I'm not going to sing. I have been singing all day, just in anticipation of this book club. I've been so excited in anticipation of launching the book club, because I think it's just a wonderful opportunity for us to have this conversation. So yeah, this is the Sisterhood Exchange Radio Show. For the next several weeks, we'll be discussing the Sisterhood Exchange, the paperback version of the book. I am Michelle Hollinger, your very grateful host. If you would like to call in to join the conversation, the phone number to call in is 646-595-2081, and I would love to hear your viewpoints, your perspective on sisterhood, number one, and then to just talk a little bit about, you know, what your childhood experience was as it relates to sisterhood, because that's where it begins for the most part. For the most part, that's where it begins. You know, who we're exposed to the majority of the time as relates to the women in our lives, that defines how we experience and how we see sisterhood. You know, the book goes into, you know, lengthy discussion, lengthy explanation about, you know, what girls are exposed to most of all as relates to their relationships with women growing up. It determines how they see sisterhood. It determines whether they grow up and they're supportive of other women or whether they feel that it's a natural part of being a woman to gossip and backstab and, you know, to not support another woman, you know. It's not that cut and dry. It's not that black and white. But for the most part, that's essentially how it rolls out, okay? So one of the things that I realized as this book poured through me, the paperback version poured through me, was that there are two parts to the book. You know, the first part is the sisterhood of self, and then the second part is sister to sister. And the sisterhood of self essentially boils down to as within. You've heard that statement before, as within, so without. You know, what you think in your mind is what you bring about in your life. What you think about, you bring about. And so I broke the book down into two parts because how we feel about ourselves as women, you know, the way that we speak to ourselves, the thoughts that we have about ourselves, you know, whether we beat ourselves up or we cut ourselves some slack when we make a mistake or we use poor judgment, all of that not only determines our quality of life, but it determines how we interact with other women. And I call that the sisterhood exchange. The way that I interact with myself, you know, the quality of my thoughts to myself, the quality of my belief system in myself, that determines how I interact with another woman and vice versa, because what I put out is what I attract into my life, right? So let me take another deep breath because, like I said, I get so excited about this sisterhood stuff, and I let a whole bunch of words come out of my mouth without breathing, and then I start to feel lightheaded. So I don't want you guys to just have dead space on the air where you just don't hear anything like, what happened to Michelle? And it's because I passed out because I wasn't breathing. So let me take a deep breath and go on into the next chapter. It's on page 9. I'm still in the preface, still, you know, kind of giving you guys some background on where, you know, the sisterhood exchange comes from and you know, what it's all about. And on page 9, the second paragraph, it says that the sisterhood exchange is a phrase that describes the energy that flows within a woman when she interacts with herself and the energy that flows back and forth when she interacts with other women. The quality of the energy of the sisterhood exchange is determined by the quality of the energy, and the quality of the energy is determined by a woman's thoughts, words, and actions. Gossiping, bullying, jealousy, backstabbing, etc. are all low energy exchanges. Encouragement, admiration, mentoring, inspiration, etc. are all high energy. It goes on to say that all women have an SOS, a sisterhood of self. However, it must be activated. Before I go on, I see that I have a caller who wants to chime in, so let me bring them on and get them into this here conversation. Hi, caller. You're on the air. Your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, Michelle. This is Patrice calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And
hey,
I'm really
Patrice.
Enjoying your show.
How are you?
I'm
awesome,
doing great.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you so
and
much
like
for calling in. What's your comment or question?
Well, just going to the preface of your book and listening, you know, about how you were saying that, how you're brought up, about the women that you're around and how you feel about, you know, yourself. And I was raised with four sisters, you know, so like I said, I had a lot of good women support, you know, my mother, aunts, grandmother, all of us around. And outside of my home, we were raised at a time where we kind of had like little social clubs. So the girls that I would be around, you know, it was still a positive thing. It wasn't until I got older you know, that I really had to start relating to, like, the real sisterhood exchange of women that I didn't really necessarily know personally. But I can say mm-hmm. I remember, you know, at one time, very young in my life, like I said, I started dating a married man. And it didn't feel right to me. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, that the most part of it was relating to the sister, his wife. You know, mm-hmm. if you know, it just made me think about her, you know, in terms mm-hmm. of I kind of bonded with the fact that sister to sister, you know, and it caused me to end the relationship based on that. But I think it had to do with how I grew up as a young girl and respecting right. other women, you know, so that kind of empowered me. So I'm just saying I just kind of related to you talking about the way that you're brought up and the type of influences that you have. It kind of, you know, makes you be a certain way when you relate to other women, you know.
Absolutely,
so that was pretty
absolutely.
Much a comment, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you
it
so
empowers
much for sharing.
You. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I want to add so that our listeners know that Patrice is a relative of mine, and we discovered each other on Facebook. And one of the things that drew me, because I believe in energy, and I can even on Facebook, even without having met somebody, I can feel the energy from their posts, from their page, from just the quality of information that they share on their Facebook page. And Patrice and I are kindred spirits. Let me just say that.
Yeah.
We are kindred spirits because what she posts on her Facebook page is absolutely phenomenal. So
thank you
so much for calling in and for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. It's a
all
good
right,
show. I'm really enjoying it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, so thank you again, Patrice, for calling in with that wonderful comment. And one of the things that she said about ending the relationship that she was in because she was able to connect with the sister, that's essentially what the sisterhood exchange is about. Because when you feel a certain type of way about yourself, you can see yourself in another woman. You can put yourself in her shoes, and you can understand, you know, where her emotions are and where she's coming from. And so I just really admire and appreciate Patrice for sharing that with us. Let's see, back to the book on page 9. We're still in the preface, and we're still talking about the energy exchange between women, which is called the sisterhood exchange. One of the things that was revealed to me as I wrote the paperback version for this book is this idea that we all have an SOS, a sisterhood of self, and that's where it all begins. That's where it all begins. And what I realize is that, you know, every single woman has an SOS, but every single woman's SOS is not activated. We all have an SOS because when it comes down to, like, really digging deep into this whole idea of sisterhood, we don't have to go outside of ourselves to gain understanding about sisterhood. It's already inside of us. It's already inside of us. But sometimes it may take exposure to, you know, another woman, to, you know, sometimes a song, sometimes a book, sometimes the preacher will preach a certain sermon and it'll feel like it has your name on it. Sometimes there's this external thing that happens to bring to our attention our desire to go deeper with sisterhood, but the qualities of sisterhood and the idea of an active SOS, that's already inside of us. We were born with it, okay? Something external can activate it, can you know, wake us up to the fact that it's there, but it's already inside of us. So every woman has an SOS, and it's either active or it's inactive, right? So the book goes on to say the SOS is the foundation for a woman's existence because it determines the quality of her life, okay? A woman with an inactive SOS has not accessed her inner splendor, has not discovered her life purpose, and is likely experiencing frustrations in multiple aspects of her life. So think about that. Think about the women that you see, and I keep going back to the reality shows because I think that that's the most vivid example that we have these days. But these women who are disparaging each other, getting into fist fights, you know, gossiping about the other women on the show, you know, doing all of this negative stuff, they have not accessed their inner splendor. They have not discovered that they are here on purpose with a purpose. they have not discovered that they have these wonderful qualities inside of them, and their behavior indicates that. That's what it boils down to. Their behavior indicates that. They are acting out from their false sense of self. They are acting out from an untruth about who they are. That's why I strongly believe in what Maya Angelou always said. When we know better, we do better. And the example I gave about Evelyn Lozado and her being on the show with Iyanla, and Iyanla doing this deep spiritual work with her to help her to uncover, you know, all this goodness inside of her, all of this awesomeness inside of her that she was not activating, that she, you know, she had her SOS inside of her, but she had not activated because she was still living from pain from childhood issues. And I think that that is the case more often than not when we see women who are acting out in, you know, just horrible negative ways with other women, okay? So this paragraph says, it goes on to say, because she engages in low-energy sisterhood exchanges with herself, she also engages in low-energy sisterhood exchanges with other women. That's a guarantee. If you are engaging in low-energy sisterhood exchanges with yourself, okay, if you are beating yourself up whenever you make a mistake, if your self-talk is everything that you can't do instead of what you can do, if you are of the mindset that you're too this, that, or whatever to pursue your goal, you know, if you bought into any nonsense that anybody told you as you were growing up about, you know, you having a deficit in whatever area, you know, that you want to pursue, then you are having a low-energy sisterhood exchange with yourself. You know, one of the shows that I did a few months ago before I discontinued the show and, you know, working on the paperback, I talked about the power of our thoughts. And I talked about, you know, how many thoughts we actually have. And the research says that we have up to 60,000 thoughts every single day. 60,000 thoughts pass through our, up to 60,000 thoughts pass through our brains every single day. And then the research also says that 98% of those thoughts are repetitive thoughts. So the thoughts that I had yesterday are the same thoughts that I had the day before and the day before that. So these thoughts are on autopilot. You know, these thoughts are just thoughts that just pass through our brains without us, you know, taking any control over these thoughts. These thoughts are just always there. And the 80% of the thoughts are negative, right? So a woman who's having this low-energy sisterhood exchange with herself is engaged in this constant recycling of negative thoughts day in and day out, okay? Constantly telling herself what she can't do instead of what she can, beating herself up for mistakes and poor judgment that she had, you know, that she made back in the day. A woman who's engaged in low-energy sisterhood exchange with herself, she can't help but to engage in low-energy sisterhood exchanges with other women. That's just the way that goes. You know, her false sense of self is the most dominant part of who she is, and that's what she lives from. That's what she lives from. Goes back to that same, you know, thing I keep saying about that Maya Angelou would say, when we know better, we do better. Okay, now on the flip side, the book goes on to say that a woman with an active SOS, she may or may not be living her best life, but she's aware that she's here on purpose with a purpose. Okay, so a woman who has activated her SOS, and I'm going to go through the seven principles of an active SOS in a few minutes. But a woman who's living from an active SOS, she understands that there's more to life than what she's currently or what she has already experienced. She has a hunger and a thirst for discovering why she's here. Whether she has discovered it or not, she is on her way to discovering it because she knows that she's here on purpose with a purpose. Okay, so a woman who's engaging with a high energy sisterhood exchange with herself, it's not just the way that she shows up in the world. It also determines how she interacts with other women, because once you activate your sisterhood of self, and I can tell you that my sisterhood of self is so active, oh my God, this thing is on autopilot, sometimes it's just running by itself, but when you get to the point where it is fully activated, and you know that it's activated, and you have an intention to not only keep it activated but to get it even more active, you don't only want for yourself the discovery of your inner splendor. You don't only want for you to realize that you're here on purpose with a purpose. You want other women to experience it too. When you see another woman with an active SOS, you don't have a jealous bone in your body because you're excited that her SOS is activated. That's the way that thing works, and it's so very exciting. Oh, my God, it's so exciting. Once you realize what sisterhood is really about and it becomes a part of the way that you live your life, oh, my God, it's so I'm so excited about this here book club right here. I've been a part of book clubs before in the past, and, you know, I'm an avid reader, love, love, love myself some books. But this book club right here, oh, my goodness, okay. So I'm taking a deep breath because I told you guys that I get so excited about talking about this topic that I'll just go minutes without, you know, taking a deep breath and get lightheaded. I don't want to pass out while I'm talking to you guys about the sisterhood exchange. So this paragraph continues. The woman with an active SOS, if she's not currently doing so, her actions will sooner than later result in her living an authentic, deeply satisfying life. She understands that she has a role to play in experiencing the something more that she desires. A woman with an active SOS is not only interested in living her life to the fullest, she wants the same thing for other women. And that's essentially what I just said. But, yeah, this stuff is exciting. It's really exciting. And it just makes life so much sweeter. It really, truly does. Because when you genuinely feel excitement, you know, when another woman is excelling, when you genuinely, you know, say, you know, go girl, you go girl, when that is genuine, it impacts every aspect of your being. It impacts every aspect of your life. Yeah. So before I go into the second part of the discussion, I mentioned before that, you know, there's a hardback copy of this book, and if you want to have a keepsake, a collector's item, then, you know, I encourage you to get it, because I am very, 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 very convinced that this book is going to take off, because it's a conversation that so many women want to have, and the marketing that I'm doing for the book is putting it in the right hands. Excuse me. And, you know, the nation will be talking about this book. So if you want a keepsake, as far as the hardback is concerned, it's a much smaller book than that's available. But the paperback version of this book is available on Amazon.com. If you want an autographed copy, then you can go to my website, which is MichelleHollinger.com, and I'll get an autographed copy out to you. You can also get it in ebook version from Amazon, and you can read it on your Kindle. If you don't have a Kindle, Amazon has a Kindle app that you can download to any smartphone, any electronic device that you have, and you can read it. Essentially, you can read the e-book on any device, whether you have a Kindle or not. So, yeah, what was I saying before I went into that? Oh, goodness, I am getting to be of a certain age, and I need to stay on track while writing stuff down. Oh, I was talking about this book, yeah. It ended up, as the paperback started to flow through me, I realized that it is two parts. You know, part one is the sisterhood of self as within, and then part two is sister to sister as without, so without rather, as within, so without, because the way that I interact with myself, the way that I see myself, the my self-care, what I do with my thoughts on a daily basis, whether I spend time in the silence, whether I am nurturing, you know, the thoughts, the up to 60,000 thoughts that pass through my head, whether I am making sure that, you know, I reduce it from it being, you know, the 80% that are negative to a much lower number, and that happens when you pay attention to your thoughts. And that's one of the things that we'll talk about, not tonight, but a few chapters down, because a part of having an active SOS involves taking control of your thoughts. That is one of the most important things that you will ever do in your life, taking control of your thoughts. Because, you know, we sometimes don't realize just, you know, how detrimental our thoughts can be. And when you consider the number of thoughts that pass through our minds, and that a huge chunk of them are passing through, you know, just on a regular basis, day in and day out, when we actually start to slow down and take a look, you know, I did an activity a few months ago on the show where I asked people to set their watches or you know, some device to go off every hour, and then when it did every hour, to pay attention. What was the thought that you were just thinking at that moment when you know, when the alarm went off? What was the thought that you were thinking at that moment? And the idea was just to help everybody to start to pay attention to our thoughts, because when we pay attention to our thoughts, we become more powerful than the thought. When we pay attention to our thoughts, we realize that, you know what, I have control over whether this thing can show up again. You know, if it's not bringing goodness, if it's not helping me to move forward, if it's not helping me to connect with the best part of me, this thought does not belong here, and so I need to make sure that it does not return. Okay, so, yeah, this whole sisterhood conversation, it goes back to how we feel about ourselves, because how we feel about ourselves speaks volumes in the way that we not only interact with other women, it speaks volumes about how we interact with people in general. But because we're talking about the Sisterhood Exchange, we're only talking about how we relate to other women. Okay, so on page, I don't have on my glasses, I think that's page 13. Yeah, page 13 in the book, it goes into, it gives just a brief list of what the seven principles of the SOS are. And the first principle is that, number one, I mentioned this already, that every woman has an SOS that is either active or inactive. When that thing came through me, first of all, I was like, whoa, God, SOS? What do you mean an SOS? That's a distress signal. And, you know, spending more time and thought about that, I'm like, okay, SOS, SOS, sisterhood of self. Yeah, that is something that we should be urgent about. We should be urgent about going within and discovering all of this wonderfulness. That's not a word, but I just made it up. Wonderfulness inside of us, this inner splendor that each and every one of us has, but we can go our entire life without realizing that we have it if we don't spend time in the silence. So, okay, so the first one, every woman has an SOS that is either active or inactive. The SOS is activated by spending time in the silence daily. And that doesn't mean necessarily that you have to meditate or that you have to do anything fancy, but it just means that at some point during the day, every day, that you carve out some time every day where the TV is off, the radio is off, you're not on social media, you're not talking to anybody else, you're just spending time in the silence with your beautiful self. You are giving yourself some time on your calendar. You are carving out some time on your day, every day, because you are worth it. Every single day, to discover what's inside of you, and you don't have to do anything special. You can make that silent time whatever you want it to be, whether you take a walk around the neighborhood, walk in the park, go sit on the beach, you know, if you have a special spot in your house where you can just chill by yourself, that you do it every day is essential. It's absolute. The young ladies that we see on these reality shows, they run from silence. They run from silence because what the silence tells them makes them uncomfortable. The silence tells them that, you know what, there's more to you than this foolishness that you are demonstrating on this show. But because they're caught up in that, they may not be ready to hear it. The silence is an absolutely essential part of an active SOS. The next one, self-forgiveness elevates an active SOS. Okay, so in order for self-forgiveness, in order for you to even engage in self-forgiveness, you have to have already started spending time in the silence, because what the silence will help you to discover is that you're worthy of self-forgiveness. The silence is just going to allow all of this wonderful information, all of this wisdom, all of this, this goodness that you were born with, that got covered up by childhood experiences, by interacting with some adults who may not have known better, who may have said things to you that weren't true about you, but that you believed because they were in a position of authority, they were somebody that you trusted, they were somebody who wanted, well, you know, wanted the best for you, but just didn't know better and may have said some things that derailed your dream or whatever. Okay? The silence allows you to get to the truth of the matter. And you have to get to the truth of the matter before you can even entertain the idea of self-forgiveness. Self-forgiveness elevates an active SOS. So once you even set the intention for activating your SOS, and then you start to spend time in the silence, oh my goodness, this energy inside of you, it just gets excited because it's like, oh my God, she's paying attention. Let me tell her this about herself. Let me show her this wonderful thing that she hasn't realized. All of that is, it wants you to know that it exists. And the only way for you to know it is in the silence. That's the only way for you to know it, okay? So the next one is the effective use of thoughts and words sustains an active SOS. So you can't just, you know, go into silence, activate your SOS, do a little bit of self-forgiveness, and just think that that's it. And just think that, okay, my SOS is active now, I'm good. No, it's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing process, and it's one that is so worth it. Oh, my God. It is so worth it. So the effective use of thoughts and words sustains an active SOS. When you start to pay attention to those up to 60,000 thoughts every day that pass through your brain, you know, when you take, you know, just randomly throughout the day, you take time to say, oh, what was I just thinking about? Or you start to recognize that when certain things happen, you think a certain kind of way about it, and you can, you know, hold it up to the light and determine, is this helping me or harming me? You have a choice. You have a choice about which thoughts you allow to remain in your mind, which thoughts you allow to enter your mind. You have a choice, right? So that's what that's all about. The effective use of thoughts and words sustains an active SOS. You know, one of the other things that I realized about this book, because this, I mentioned that it's a really small book, but it packs a punch. This book right here, it packs a huge punch. And what it does is it introduces women to certain concepts and ideas about, you know, thoughts, and your thoughts create your reality, you know, the SOS, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what happens once you start to engage that interest, once you start to, you know, go deeper into whatever it is in this book that resonates with you, because there will be, you know, that there might be one particular chapter. You may get something out of every single chapter, but there may be one particular chapter that you constantly go back to because it's speaking to you. And what will happen is, you know, you'll go and when you're in the bookstore, a particular book will jump off the shelf at you because it's the book that will speak to you and further enhance whatever it is about the chapter that you found in this book that resonated with you. You will have the opportunity, once that happens, you will have the opportunity to become introduced to additional reading material. You might hear something on the radio. You may be drawn to go to a particular seminar. You know, your pastor may say something that resonates with you. This book will set a fire, and what you do afterward will determine how you nurture that fire, okay? The next one says that an active SOS thrives in gratitude, and I have a chapter in this book on gratitude. I have chapters in this book on every part, on all of these seven principles in one way or another. But this principle says an active SOS thrives in gratitude. Gratitude, oh, my God, gratitude is one of the most powerful things that you can embrace in your life. It is so powerful. And once your SOS is activated and, you know, you're paying attention to your thoughts and you've engaged in some self-forgiveness, it's going to become, you know, a natural inclination for you to consider, if you're not already, you know, a person who embraces gratitude, you will, and after you read the chapter in this book on gratitude, you will start to understand just how powerful gratitude is, just how powerful it is. Gratitude is a life changer. Gratitude is a life changer because it's one of those things that when you embrace gratitude, and one of the things that I strongly encourage as it relates to gratitude is keeping a gratitude journal. I can't even count the number of journals that I have around this house, but a gratitude journal. And it's really simple. You know, every day at the end of your day, you write down five things that you're grateful for that happened that day. Every day, five things. Some days it might just be that, okay, I have a house, I have food, I have clean clothes. You know, it may just be the basics, but that counts too. That counts too. And then some days you won't be able to put the pen down because that day was so full of gratitude that you just, you know, have so much to be grateful for. But the thing about gratitude is this: when you focus on gratitude, you attract more things into your life for which to be grateful, because like energy attracts itself to itself. Like energy attracts. So when you, what you're grateful for, you attract more in your life to be grateful for. So gratitude and active SOS, thriving in gratitude. Oh my God, gratitude is an essential part of an active SOS. Okay, the next one says an active SOS provides access to inner splendor, which reveals life purpose. Again, once your SOS is active, because you've been spending time in the silence, everything that's inside of you that's been, you know, just burning to get out, that's just been, you know, hoping that you would discover it if you haven't already, all of that is going to start to just, you know, fall into place to get your attention. You know, things that happened in your past are going to start to make sense. Some of the hobbies and interests that you have, you're going to discover, oh, that's why that means so much to me. That's why I'm able to just lose track of time whenever I engage in, you know, gardening or art or music or whatever the case may be. The hidden treasures that are a part of who you are, that are uniquely yours, that have your name on it, those are going to start to reveal themselves to you. The more you spend time in the silence, the more you you go into that whole self-forgiveness aspect, the more you take control of your thoughts and your words, when you start to play around with gratitude, oh, my God, brace yourself, because it's just going to start to happen like that. That's just the way spiritual law works. There are certain aspects of spiritual law that, you know, when you engage, they just fall into place, just like gravity. You know, it just is. It just happens, right? So the last one on the seven principles of the SOS, the quality of a woman's SOS determines the quality of all her other sisterhood exchanges. And that's one of the things that I said, you know, on this show already, that the quality of the sisterhood exchange that a woman has with herself determines the quality of the sisterhood exchanges that she has with other women. That's just the way it goes. That's a spiritual law that you know, essentially says what goes around comes around. So I'm going to take another deep breath before I pass out from lightheadedness. I'm going to stop saying that because words are powerful. I will not be passing out from lightheadedness. No, I will not. So, yeah, this is the Sisterhood Exchange radio show, and tonight is the big launch of the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. If you want to call in to share your thoughts, we have a few more minutes left for this first night of the Sisterhood Exchange Book Club. The number to call in is 646-595-2081. Before the show ends, I want to say that I'm gonna get into discussing the Sisterhood of Self. But for next week's book club discussion, we are going to go into discussing the next chapter, which is Disconnect to Connect, and Your Thoughts, Your Life. So those two chapters will be up next. And there's no guarantee that we'll get through to both of them, depending on what the conversation and what the interaction is on the first one. But we will definitely get through this entire book, which is not a big book, but again, I said it packs a punch. This book is powerful. This book is life changing. My 21-year-old daughter read the book, and she said, "Ma, this book is amazing." And there was a particular chapter in the book that she read, you know, over and over, because she said that it really resonated with her. And we're going to get to that one in a few weeks, but. Yeah, I just want to, before we end the show tonight, to just, you know, express my deep, deep gratitude to those of you who are listening and who have purchased the book. I am so, so very, very grateful, and I just really look forward to being able to have, you know, just a rich discussion about the Sisterhood Exchange, the Sisterhood of Self, and the Sister to Sister. I encourage you to go on the Facebook page and give me your feedback on tonight's show, on what you're thinking about the book and what you're thinking about this discussion. And hopefully next week, some more of you will call in with your feedback. I want to thank Patrice again for calling in and sharing her her point of view on this whole topic and helping us understand that the way that you're exposed to women as you grow up, the women that you're exposed to, definitely makes an impact. Definitely makes an impact on how you view sisterhood. Patrice talked about growing up with, you know, her mom and her sisters and being around positive women and even in, you know, the friendships that she had and what an impact that it had on her. And, you know, it's absolutely positively true. It's absolutely true. You know, my mother died when I was 11 years old, and some of my most treasured memories of her involve seeing her interact with other women. She had a lot of friends. She had a handful of really close friends, and her sisters and her nieces and people in our family were among that group because she was the person in the family that it seemed everybody gravitated to because they could talk to her. You know, they felt really comfortable with the advice that she gave them. You know, she just had this really warm, special space in her life for people to come and spend time with her. And I remember that. I remember that. So I guess she rubbed off on me because this sisterhood thing is really important to me. You know, I pay attention to energy, and I find myself more often than not, I can't even say I'm even exposed to, you know, negativity as it relates to women, you know, on a one-on-one basis. That just doesn't happen. It just really doesn't happen. And I'm grateful. I'm just really grateful for the awareness that I have about how important sisterhood is and then to be able to share with you all, you know, what the sisterhood of self is and these seven principles. And I'm seeing that my time, I have a few minutes left, and I'm going to start, you know, a discussion on this next chapter before I end on the sisterhood of self, but I'm thinking that this is probably going to be a discussion that will carry over into next week. We're going to keep it really informal. This is a book club, after all, and we're going to discuss it, you know, and, you know, if we need to spend just a short period of time on any other topics, we will. But if I feel like, you know, this one deserves more time and more energy, then we'll do that. We'll, you know, play it by ear, go along, follow along to our gut instincts as it relates to how we discuss this book. So the thing about the sisterhood of self, I started out talking about faith when I got into this chapter on the sisterhood of self. And it reminds me of faith because faith, there's a misconception about faith. You know, some people think that, you know, some people have faith and some people don't. That, you know, there's something you can do to get more faith. But faith is one of those spiritual qualities. It's not a religious quality. It's a spiritual quality that we're all born with. We're born with all the faith we'll ever have, you know. And I think that that's one of the reasons why that biblical quote about, you know, the mustard seed size amount of faith, if you have that amount of faith, then you can move mountains. So as it relates to how the sisterhood of self relates to faith, you know, again, I said everybody has faith. Everybody is born with it. Now, whether you use your faith or not is a different story. Whether you use it or not is a different story. And even people who may not identify faith as faith, they also have that quality, that spiritual energy within them because they have expectations about what's going to happen in their life. They have expectations about how things are going to unfold. What is that? That's faith. They may not call it faith, but that's what it is, right? So with faith, the more you use it, though, the stronger it gets. It's like a muscle. The more you exercise your faith, the stronger it gets. Because when you use your faith, you recognize how powerful it is. When you see what it can do, when you see what you can attract into your life, when you see what you can manifest with your faith, you start to realize it's really, really powerful. And so you set an intention to use it more diligently. You set an intention to actually put it into practice. And SOS is the same way. All women, again, have an SOS, but it's either active or not. It's either active or not. And, you know, there are women who may have no idea, and a lot of women may not, because I just coined the phrase just a few months ago, a sisterhood of self, may have no idea what, you know, the SOS, the sisterhood of self is, but they've been living from an active SOS for a very, very long time. okay? So I gave it this catchy title, but it's been in existence since the beginning of time, the SOS, right? So every woman has an SOS, just like every person has faith. The similarity between the SOS and faith is a very small amount of intention can activate it and strengthen it in a way that changes your life. When you are aware that you have an SOS that has not been activated, but that you have the power to activate it by spending time in the silence, by, you know, exercising self-forgiveness, by embracing gratitude. Once you get started with the spending time in the silence, that's the equivalent of exercising that faith muscle, right? And then the more you spend time in the silence, the more you start to tap into that inner splendor, the more you start to recognize that you have this SOS that can be activated by you paying attention to it, the stronger it gets. The stronger it gets. And then it has a ripple effect because it just kind of, you know, trickles out to every aspect of your life. Let's see what the book says about the SOS. As it relates to a woman's SOS, women with an active one do, well, let me back. I want to go to the previous chapter. Okay, so the SOS follows, I'm on page 16, the middle of the page. The SOS follows a similar pattern, and it follows a similar pattern to faith, which I discussed in the previous paragraph. And this paragraph says, the sisterhood of self is like faith in that all women possess it. Like faith, SOS is activated with minimal effort and builds with intention and practice. Many women with an inactive SOS assume that authentically successful women with an active SOS, have something that they do not, that perhaps they're lucky or they're smarter or they have better connections. As it relates to a woman's SOS, women with an active one do indeed appear to attract situations that from the outside looking in appear to, let me reread that. As it relates to a woman's SOS, women with an active one do indeed attract situations that from the outside looking in appear to be lucky. However, their external world is a result of what they do internally. Like the person with strong faith, the more a woman engages her SOS, the stronger it gets. And what a woman does within always shows up in her world. So it goes further and talks about who are these women, the women with active SOS. These women are authentically successful. Their thoughts, words, and actions illustrate that they live from an active SOS. They're women who believe in themselves, value and respect themselves, women whose self-talk is non-judgmental and supportive, women who forgive themselves for poor judgment and mistakes, women who are either living or actively pursuing their life purpose. They are women who routinely poke holes, I love this one, poke holes into their shrinking comfort zone by constantly stepping on it on their way out of it. They don't believe in living in a comfort zone. There's nothing comfortable about living in a comfort zone because that means you're living beneath your true potential. Okay, it goes on to say, a woman with an active SOS understands the power of gratitude and consciously embraces it as an essential aspect of living. She might or might not meditate, but introspection and thinking about who she is and what she wants is a part of her life. Instead of complaining about a problem, a woman with an active SOS will roll up her sleeves and do something about it. Their thoughts are predominantly positive. They celebrate life, question authority. They speak affirming words and aren't easily rattled. They read books, attend seminars, watch television shows that encourage them to become more, not less, of who they are. It's like an antenna goes up when you activate your SOS. And you just really start to just pay attention to the vibe, to the energy of everything that you're involved in. You start to, you know, certain TV shows that you may have watched before, you know, when you're active, if you watched it with an inactive SOS, once your SOS becomes active and you try to watch it, it's not going to feel right. It's not going to feel right. Certain conversations that you used to have with certain people, it's going to